This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington, devastated by wind-driven wildfires that have killed more than 50 people, just about destroyed a historic city in West Maui. Hawaiian officials offered this update.
What we saw was the utter devastation of Lahaina. We walked from end to end today as a team. What we saw was likely the largest natural disaster in Hawaii state history.
That is Hawaii's Governor Josh Green. This is Maui County Police Chief John Pelletier.
We don't know how many people we have dead. When this is all said and done, we just don't know.
Their latest estimate is 53. CBS News correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti is on Maui.
People getting in helicopters used for tours to bring food into places and to get evacuees out. The military is also on the scene, assisting with the search and rescue on the ground. Sources tell us that there are hundreds of homes and all of the wreckage that has yet to be sifted through. So it really is a race against the clock.
Five Americans of Iranian background who have been jailed there have now been transferred from prison to home arrest, part of a complex deal the U.S. is trying to work out for their release, Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
This is just the beginning of a process that I hope and expect will lead to their return home to the United States.
The deal being worked on would involve Iran gaining access to funds frozen by the U.S., but with limits on what they could be used for. The Centers for Disease Control reports something like a suicide epidemic.
The CDC estimates about 49,500 people took their lives last year. Available data suggests suicides are more common in the U.S. now than at any time since 1941. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention says a main driver of the increase is the growing availability of guns. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
A 17-year-old has been indicted on a hate crime murder charge in the fatal New York City stabbing of dancer O'Shea Sibley. CBS's Michael George reports.
Last month, authorities say the 17-year-old hurled homophobic slurs towards Sibley and his friends when they stopped to get gas. The argument escalated, and Sibley was stabbed in the chest and later died.
Safety regulators are investigating a fatal Virginia crash involving a Tesla Model Y that collided with a semi-truck. Auto reporter Jeff Gilbert.
There was no sign that either the driver or the vehicle automation system recognized the truck before the collision. This is one of 23 fatalities that have in one way or another been connected to Tesla's driver assistance systems.
This is California regulators vote to allow two rival robo-taxi services to operate throughout San Francisco at all hours despite some local opposition. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Attention taxpayers.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media weather team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
studio with our good friend Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom's national correspondent out on the left coast. Kia, hello. Thanks for being here.
Hello, Pat. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, let's. We've got a busy week, kind of a hodgepodge of things that are not typical for a week. It's not every week that you have a special election, especially one in another state that we would be paying attention to. But a lot of folks paid attention to a special election in Ohio this week. And did I see right? Is this thing like costing northwards of $30 million to hold this turkey of a referendum that ultimately failed?
Yeah, that is what Ballotpedia, which is sort of an online database of all things elections, estimated. This was an estimate last week that said it was over $32 million, roughly split 50-50. And again, this was a week ago, so or several days ago. So that number could be $35 million, $40 million. You know, the last few days before an election are always, you see a flood of TV ads and mailers. So it'll be probably another few days at least before we get a final number, but it's a ton of money.
That's a lot of money for what would have been a, I continually refer to it as essentially, you know, moving the goalposts on, you know, what it takes to amend the Ohio State Constitution. So with that attempt having been shot down, you don't need a supermajority. You just stick with the majority rules that you've always had. Ohio has to do this all over again now for the actual abortion constitutional question in November, don't they?
They do indeed. So this, you know, there's going to be a measure on the ballot in November that will basically would override Ohio's current abortion ban. And, you know, this measure is not a this one yesterday is not or on Tuesday is not quite a perfect indicator, but it's pretty close. I think you can expect that, you know, barring some massive sea change in the electorate or in the current state of issues in the country, you can expect that voters will want to support abortion rights in Ohio again. We've seen that in Kansas and Kentucky and pretty much every state where it's been on the ballot, which is why you saw Republicans try to rush this past election through, throw every which strategy at the wall to see what might work, and none of them did. Voters support abortion. The really intense anti-trans rhetoric they used was ineffective. And perhaps most obviously, I'm not sure why they thought getting voters to give up more of their own power would be effective. It clearly was not.
No. And so you have conservatives and Republicans who once again are seen, demonstrated clearly that they're not in line with mainstream values. But that takes us to the Milwaukee presidential primary debate for the Republicans coming up now in under 2 weeks. And we'll talk about the field, you know, who's qualified for the debate so far. And I know it's going to be on Fox, and so therefore I can't say that the questions are going to be as, you know, what you and I would write. But you would think one of the questions has to be, what are you going to do? Are you going to stick to your far right response, or are you able to see now that the Republican Party, or at least its presidential candidates, have to come a little bit, have to moderate their positions off the extremes of the abortion question? I just wonder if they'll be asked about that in Milwaukee.
I'm sure there will be an abortion related question, especially coming on the heels of the Ohio result. How they answer that will tell us a lot. There is no consensus within the Republican Party on how to handle this. The fact that voters hate their position on it. I think at this point, it's safe to say that with certainty. That's why you see, you know, even Donald Trump, who overturned Roe v. Wade, he has talked about that, but he has very much shied away from any further restrictions. You see Mike Pence going in the total opposite direction, calling for a national ban. And then there's like everything in between, basically. And so they're really caught in a tricky situation, though, because their primary base wants an abortion ban, but the vast majority of general election voters don't. So anything they say to try to help themselves now will only hurt them next year.
Yeah, without a doubt. Do we know roughly who all is in, or I guess it's almost like the NCAA tournament. Do we know who's on the bubble of maybe not making it?
Yeah, so we do know who's in. The folks who have qualified as of this week are former President Donald Trump, who is not committed to doing the debate yet, but he has qualified. Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, has qualified. Tim Scott, the South Carolina senator. Nikki Haley, the former South Carolina governor. They've both qualified. Vivek Ramaswamy, who is the sort of anti-woke tech entrepreneur, has qualified, as has Chris Christie, Doug Burgum, and Mike Pence. So most of the field is going to be on the stage, which, you know, means it could be, you know, a complete clown car similar to 2016.
Oh, it feels like just haven't learned much of anything. Well, let's talk about Ron DeSantis on there, who will again be able to, you know, crow about taking, again, this extreme, quote unquote, law and order position. Because this week, for the second time, he, as governor of Florida, has removed an elected official from their position because he didn't like what they were doing. It's an amazing power that a governor has, and very recklessly used, it appears, by DeSantis.
Yeah, and it's a question of whether he's legally allowed to do this, but, you know, questions of legality seem to matter increasingly little to Ron DeSantis. So on Wednesday, he suspended the elected state attorney of the Orlando area, Monique Worrell, who is a Democrat and a Black woman. She was elected again by the people of the Orlando area overwhelmingly. But because she has ideological differences with Governor DeSantis, he has suspended her from her position. The same thing he did last year to a different prosecutor who he disagreed with. And, you know, I don't think it is a coincidence that this is coming after he's had just an absolutely brutal stretch of campaigning. His poll numbers are slagging, his donations are a mess, he's fired his campaign manager, his donors are abandoning him. And even the polling shows that, you know, his obsessive focus on woke isn't resonating. Voters care more about the traditional Republican, you know, often racist, but, you know, law and order, you know, hard on crime strategies. And so he's doing that because he sees that that's his potentially only path back to being competitive. And so, you know, he is going back to the well of things that have served him well in Florida because he can't figure out how to run nationally.
Right. And again, helpful in a primary, going to be helpful in red states if he were to become the nominee, but does absolutely nothing in a general election setup. So while we're on the subject of conservatives being out of touch, there's the United States Supreme Court and polling that is being done on them. And again, with a lifetime appointment, you know, what do you care what the polling says? But I always find it interesting to see what the American people think of a court that has become increasingly political. What are Americans saying nowadays?
Yeah, they are not thrilled with the Supreme Court. Approval of the court sits at 40%, according to a July survey from Gallup, which is a, you know, nonpartisan organization that surveys a host of different issues, the Americans' views on different issues. And they've been tracking, you know, views of the court for over two decades. And 40% is the lowest approval rating ever. And that's been the number for most of the past couple years. And, you know, you see that decline predated the Dobbs decision last year, actually. But, you know, you've seen that number continue to erode, particularly among Democrats in the aftermath of the Dobbs decision, which repealed Roe v. Wade. The decline is mostly among Democrats and independents. Republican support for the court of Republican voters support has actually increased in the last couple of years, which tells you a lot. Because what the court's been doing is, you know, taking away the right to abortion, targeting LGBTQ individuals, striking down gun safety laws, striking down worker protection laws, making it harder for unions to organize, a host of things that are extremely ideologically right wing. And, you know, so they've gained a couple points with Republican voters, but, you know, 17% of Democrats now approve of the court, which is just an abysmal number.
And yet, turning to the Democrats now, they are, again, not doing nearly enough to endear themselves to, you know, moderate or independent voters. You know, the polling numbers for President Biden aren't nearly what he would like them to be. And yet here mm-hmm. we sit a year after, you know, the CHIPS Act passed and, of course, the Inflation Reduction Act with all of the provisions there that are going to tackle climate change while adding jobs at the same time. And yet, yep. you know, still there's this disconnect. Do you get the impression any mainline Democrats are sounding alarm bells, or are they actually going to start responding to this and telling Americans more about what exactly they've done and what is still in the pipeline?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely the sounding of alarms. I also think there's a few reasons I think this disconnect exists. I think one, a lot of this genuinely impactful transformative legislation is for infrastructure and manufacturing and energy, things that take years to really ramp up and see the results of. And so when voters are faced with, you know, a year and a half of high costs as they have been for, you know, since mid-2021 into early 2023, what's coming in a few years is harder to sell them on. The second thing is Democrats are not the best at messaging issues. It also, you know, Biden has had an incredible first term in terms of accomplishments, but the man is not the most eloquent speaker, let's say. And so, you know, he's not Barack Obama, who could deliver a rousing speech pretty much every week of the year. And so it's harder to break through when you're kind of just a, you know, more generic speaker like he is. But that is why you need, you know, you've seen them try to have like Pete Buttigieg go out and talk more and folks like that. And I also think the third issue is that, you know, as inflation has dropped and wages have grown, that's been happening for several months now. But I think the longer that goes on, you'll start to see more voters feel better about things. Ideally, you know, for the Democrats, from their perspective, that'll really start to kick in early next spring, assuming the economy continues to trend upwards. I do think you'll see some numbers shift in their direction. But the last issue is, you know, the media spent 2 years slagging on the economy. And even now we're seeing as the numbers are better, there's still always a, you know, it's often framed in the, you know, but will it hold, or, you know,
yes,
the way they frame things is not the same way they did during the Trump era, even if the underlying numbers are very similar. And media does matter. The way you frame things, that's what people read. That's what they see on TV. So it matters.
It is. And they're always erring on the side of doom and gloom. Yes, lest they be accused of becoming cheerleaders for simply, you know, saying what the economy is doing in terms of its positive numbers. However, when the president does want to speak and speak from the heart, he does do so eloquently. And that included recent remarks about book banning. And I think he just came right out and said it, that book banning is about as un-American as it gets.
Yeah, President Biden, yeah, like you said, once in a while, he really hits. And on Tuesday, he was at the Grand Canyon in Arizona, highlighting a separate effort. But he did take time to, you know, criticize those who are trying to ban books, whether it's, you know, that's happening in a lot of states across the country. You know, it's back to school season now. We're going to see more stories about groups like Moms for Liberty, which is a far right group that tries to get books banned from schools and libraries. They're going to keep doing that, even though it's really unpopular. And so Biden pretty much said, you know, if you're banning books, you're trying to ban our history, and we only learn, and, you know, we need to learn the truth to fully recognize our history and make America, you know, live up to the promise of its founding. And that's something that you would think everyone could agree on. But apparently nowadays that is just only one party holds that position.
It's weird that only one party holds the position of being for science, for education, and for voting rights. And yet that's where we find ourselves in the year 2023. Courier Newsroom National Correspondent Kia Vakil. Hey, thanks so much. As always, hope you have a great weekend.
You bet. Thanks, Pat.
All right, we'll take a break here. Again, you can read what Kia does over at our website, Courier Newsroom, or upnorthnewswi.com. You could look on couriernewsroom.com too, but it's so much faster to head directly to the source, upnorthnewswi.com. Today's history lesson and music break coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on.
It would be fair to say that the first big revival of 50s oldies music kicked off on this day in 1973. When the film American Graffiti, by this new up-and-coming director named George Lucas, opened in theaters. It was set in 1962 and created a wave of nostalgia for songs from the 50s and early 60s. It led to the creation of the TV series Happy Days. And it also set in place, in my mind, a way of doing the math. Because as a kid in the mid-70s, the music from the mid-50s was ancient to me. I hadn't been born yet. And yet, once I got to be an adult and did the math and said, oh, so really only 20 years back and they're doing a nostalgia wave, that would mean right now there'd be young people who are hearing music from the year 2003 who think that's ancient history. That's depressing. Let's do some birthdays. Eric Carmen is 74 years old today. He had some solo hits, but you first heard him with the Raspberries. This is the same guy rocking out here who did songs like All By Myself. He was born in Cleveland on this day in 1957. This is Go All the Way. On this day in 1992, the Mall of America opened.
What matters
most
to you? For over 100 years, Drive-In has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life-supporting goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit
AM radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters. More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Actor Chris Hemsworth is 40 years old today. And it was on this day in 1995 that a movie opened starring Michelle Pfeiffer as an inner-city school teacher. Dangerous Minds opened in theaters this day in 1995 with Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise on the soundtrack. And this is the part where we find out, did Aaron play the Coolio version, or is he about to punk us with some Weird Al Yankovic?
Not this time. This is the real one.
Okay, but what do you actually hear in your head when you hear this coming up? What are the first
that
words?
My mind is gone. I'm the man of the land. I'm into discipline. I've got a Bible in my hand and a beard on my chin. Yeah, I know all the words to Amish Paradise.
I know you do, and it's one of the many reasons I admire you and yet worry about you at the same time.
That's
and
fair.
Finally, on this day in 2009, Lady A, known then as Lady Antebellum, releases perhaps the quintessential song about drunk dialing.
For me, it happens all the time. It's a quarter after one.
Really too bad our cell phones, you know, in the middle of the night don't have like a little message that flashes on saying, remember, you promised never to call this loser ever again. The crossover hit went to number one on the country chart and number two on the Hot 100 chart and sold some 9 million digital downloads. And that's our history lesson and music break for today. Well, one little sports note, just because I don't know if I've ever asked Aaron the degree to which he follows the English Premier League, but a new season gets underway this weekend, and where did I see the story? It was basically about NBC Sports. This is now they're going to be their 11th season of covering the Premier League, and when they first got that contract, I recall thinking at the time that that was, you know, quite the gamble because, you know, people knew of soccer, but, you know, would they really know it from the, you know, standpoint of following it on TV, you know, on American TV with any regularity? Now, I can't tell you if it's been a, you know, a moneymaker for NBC or not, but they certainly have, you know, embraced it. They've paid for the contract, so they're going with it. And they say they're just continuing to grow the fan base. And frankly, the, you know, the 20 top clubs in England all have U.S. followings of some sort or another. We probably, a lot of us know it better from just following, you know, the series Ted Lasso. But in terms of the actual sport, Aaron, was there ever a time that you followed that or had a favorite team, anything like that?
Not really. Some of my friends were into it, but I didn't really used to be into sports at all, honestly. Especially because by the time I was old enough to make my own decisions about what I was watching on TV, I found out about things like CTE and American football. And I was like, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Nope. I totally understand that. I know that in the beginning, if somebody said, would you follow a club? I would have said Chelsea because that's the name of our younger daughter. And I, you know, we did not know that at the time when we had her, but later discovered there was a Chelsea soccer team. And so, you know, we actually did have, I got her a little Chelsea jersey and we followed them for some time. I think that's kind of faded. My real introduction to the fandom of the Premier League came during those 3 years that I lived in the Caribbean on Grand Cayman, which is a British territory. So there were a lot of things to get used to in terms of, you know, British government and the currency system, you know, the financial system, the political system. But again, because of the time zone change, any Saturday morning, if you woke up early and you looked at some of the, you know, the pubs around Georgetown, I mean, they are busy as all get out the way that American bars are, you know, on a Sunday afternoon for football. But they're going strong 5-6 o'clock in the morning, getting ready for English Premier League matches. And so, yes, of course, it does have worldwide fandom and it is growing in the United States. And it will be, you know, airing again starting this weekend with NBC airing matches on Peacock and USA Network as well, trying to, again, bolster interest in the Premier League. We've received a couple of comments from folks who are watching our live feed on Facebook about things. We'll try to address some of those about topics that are in the news. And we'll also have Mark Jacob and Dan Schumacher coming up in the second hour of Up North News Radio. When we continue on this Friday, we'll be back. You're Up North.